the idea of meeting somebody where they're at is real. This is not lip service. This is a practiced activity at Sabre, and I think it's meaningful.
Hey everyone, Nathan Long here, president of Saybrook University here in beautiful but a little cold Pasadena, California. Welcome to another episode of Saybrook Insights. I'm joined today by two really fabulous individuals, a faculty member, Dr. Randy Heinrich, and a faculty member, alumnus, and all-around great guy as well, Dr. Jeremiah Piercy, both of whom have had stints in the military. One longer, one a little bit shorter. They come to us today to offer insights into both their military experience as well as the pursuit of graduate education as veterans, as reservists. So the exciting part here for me is to learn more about this. I admit that as a child of a veteran and a long history of service in my family, I was a civilian. And so learning more about their experiences and hearing about why they pursue graduate education and what they hope to accomplish and are accomplishing through their efforts is exciting. They also give some really great advice for military service members, both current and veterans, who are interested in pursuing graduate degrees, both generally and at Saybrook University. All right, let's get to it with Drs. Randy Heinrich and Jeremiah Piercy. Well, it's my honor today to be joined by two esteemed gentlemen, really fabulous people. I know both of them. Jeremiah, Dr. Piercy, an alumnus of Saybrook University, all-around great student, also a faculty member now at Saybrook. Really great to have you here. And Dr. Randy Heinrich, faculty member in our research department, doing really great things there too. Dr. Brewer and Dr. Ladd brag about you, so that's been great. Really happy to have both of you here today and your fine work on behalf of the university. Thanks for joining us on this special topic that we're going to talk about.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always a pleasure.
So I wanted to get a little bit from each of you before we get started, your Saybrook connection and your military experience. So maybe weave those two together, because as we mentioned in the introduction, or as I mentioned in the introduction, today is really about understanding sort of the relationship of military service members and their pursuit of graduate education. So maybe, Jeremiah, why don't we kick it off with you? Give us a little bit of a bio and connection to the military.
Yeah. So I think for me, and one of the reasons why I think Saybrook is in a great position for this, is that when I was in the military, I started my bachelor's program when I was deployed. So I started studying when I was in Afghanistan. And so I needed a flexible option because the internet there was very all over the place, hit or miss. And so for me, it was kind of a pursuit of really just wanting to better myself. The military actually encourage education, especially as you promote. So the closer you get to higher ranks, the more they want to see that you've put effort into education. So there was always an encouragement to be educated. So I finished, I started my bachelor's degree when I was deployed, ended up getting out of active duty service in 2009 and continued my service in the reserves. And so while I was in the reserves, I finished my bachelor's program and then went to Oregon State and started a master's program, but ended up transferring in the middle of that due to some family stuff that was happening. And I ended up finishing that program and backpacking Europe is one of the things that I did. As kind of, I needed to explore myself. I was dealing with a lot of things from the military that I didn't understand. And so I was trying to understand, I was trying to find some threads of continuity. And ultimately that led me to Saybrook, because I was trying to really tie in the mind and body. At that point in my life, I had only really known of psychology as something ethereal that was separate from the body. And so Saybrook kind of helped me put those pieces together. I was dealing with anxiety-induced hyperhidrosis, which is essentially I look like I've gotten out of the shower when I get anxious, which can be very debilitating. And it took me about 10 years to actually understand it. It was through my education at Saybrook that I understood it and ultimately got it under control. And now I find myself, you know, being able to do interviews on TV, on podcasts, things like this. And I don't have the issue anymore. So it really came from an understanding of the mind-body connection and how those even influence each other to get me to the point of understanding how my body works specifically, and how to kind of reduce my anxiety responses. So that's a little bit about me and a segue into my military experience and why I think it's good.
I learn something new about you every time we talk. I did not really connect that this was a major challenge for you and that Saybrook and your experience here was a part of your growth and development in terms of moving past the hyperhidrosis. So thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Dr. Heinrich?
Thank you, and thank you for this opportunity. I spent 20 years in the Army, and I retired. While in the service, I worked in intelligence and force protection. I lived in Europe, Central America, most of the United States, east of the Mississippi River. I earned a bachelor's and a master's while I was in service, another master's and a doctorate afterwards. Wore out that GI Bill I got. I wanted to use every penny of it. I did. I enjoyed my service. I feel kinship with those who serve. Thank you, Jeremiah, for your service. I joined faculty Saybrook 2021 research faculty and have been teaching research courses and serving doctoral committees ever since, primarily. And really enjoy working with folks, especially veterans and military, as I get that sense of some of the inherent challenges of service, that short notice to long deployments, to those long days, all those kinds of things that those who serve in uniform and their families, quite frankly, go through. And I made education a priority, and it works for me, and I believe it works for others.
Indeed, indeed. Well, thank you both for your service to the nation and to the work you're doing. It's never, I think so often for those of us who haven't served, it's a little bit kind of a mystery. And also, I think we're all grateful for the defense and the service that many of you provide us on a day in, day out basis. So thank you for that. Just by way of acknowledging one of our first keynote speakers at a commencement was Brigadier General Kafia Jones. Kafia was an alumna of Saybrook back, I think it was 2006, 2007. And Jeremiah, like you, she served in Afghanistan. She actually was in one of those containers where she was doing her dissertation via satellite, connecting with people in that way. It was wild. And we've talked a lot in the past, she and I, about that experience, and it's great to meet others like her in you and both of you here today. So one of the things I think we would like to get a handle on from two veterans like yourselves is, why do individuals in the military, currently, what are they seeking? Not so much why, but what are they seeking in higher education after sometimes they've left, sometimes they're in the middle of their service or coming to the end of it. What are some of the things that they're looking for in higher education? Maybe it's all the same things, but I'd be curious from your perspectives, what is in their minds from the best that you can decode. So Randy, you want to take that first?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Jeremiah touched on one of those aspects across the services. Seeking higher education opportunities often helps with promotion. It helps with additional opportunities for subsequent assignments if you are pursuing more than a single tour. What I think is specific and unique, though, is that most folks go through transitions in their life, try different careers, things of that sort. In the military, transition is coming. You will change careers. You will do something different. And if you're planning your future, you're trying to set that up so that you're doing something that you enjoy, that you have some passion about, and that you have some wherewithal for. And education is a door opener. Sometimes you're surprised by what's on the other side of that door, but it is a door opener. So that's my take as to why active duty would get on this, or reservists for all those who serve. Excuse me, Jeremiah, I don't want to ever diminish the reserves. I spent many more than one weekend working with reservists because that's what when they worked when I was in. But be that as it may, for all those who serve, that's what I think are their primary drivers.
Jeremiah?
I think Randy hit on a bunch of great points. And so I guess to kind of add to that, I think oftentimes it comes from a place of really wanting to understand their experience in the service. So actually out of my close friends that I served with, that I deployed with to Afghanistan, I probably keep in contact with about five of them, really, really close. And three of them are in the mental health field. So there's a need to kind of understand this experience, I think. The things that you go through in the military, how the military pushes you, it really introduces you to a lot of things that people outside the military just don't have that kind of introduction to. For example, I went through a POW training where, you know, we were out in the woods for 7 days with no food. They gave us 2 Gatorade bars and 5 carrots. And they were like, go, you have to find your own food, make your own water. And, you know, that's an experience that not a lot of people just get. So when you get out of the military, now you're trying to piece all that back together to figure out who you are outside of the military. And there's a lot of questions there. So I think one of the things that causes that pursuit of higher education is what happened to me while I was in the service, and how can I take those experiences and either help others or understand myself better to overcome some of the things that I've went through, or to kind of bolster the things that I was actually take away that were positive. So I think it's more of kind of a lens to see the world, and higher education helps with that.
That's great. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. So when you think about Saybrook University and what we offer in terms of master's and doctoral degrees, how do you think our slate of offerings can benefit those service members, both current and veterans, and of course, reservists, the whole spectrum, right? So Dr. Heinrich, I'm going to make sure I nail that down as well. Where might there be some benefit there? So Dr. Piercy, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so I think, you know, similar to my journey, so I finished my PhD program at Saybrook in 2019. But through that journey, I really did gain a lot of knowledge on myself. And I think for military members especially, Saybrook is a great place because it is a humanistic school. So you get less of the skewed clinical perspective and more of the whole person perspective, which when you're in the military, I think is one of those things that's essential, because so much of your life is dictated by other people, by where you live. You're told where to move. You're told what to wear, all these different aspects of your life. And so when you actually take that whole person perspective, it gives you so much more insight than I think just doing a clinical program. And I think that's where Saybrook really excels, because it's such a diverse population, diverse faculty, diverse experiences. But more than that, it's let's understand each other from this whole person perspective, or let's understand our world from a whole person perspective. And I think that is paramount and still not offered in a lot of educational institutions.
Oh, terrific. Great. Really appreciate that response. Dr. Heinrich?
I think that's a wonderful response. I will try to add just a bit to that. I think Saybrook combines a couple of things which are awesome for adult learners. One is you get rigorous curriculum. It's no nonsense. You're going to learn something. Two, you apply it to yourself. You apply it to circumstance. It's not all in the abstract, or even most in the abstract. It is real. It is personal. And it is transformative. I have taught online higher education since 2008. I have never met faculty and staff like I've met at Saybrook in terms of compassion and care and flexibility for that GI that gets no notice and has to leave for 30 days and it has to put in 18-hour days somewhere, wherever that may be, vacation spot or not. That sometimes affects school life, family life, all kinds of aspects of that challenge. And what I have found is the faculty and the staff working here has just been incredible. The idea of meeting somebody where they're at is real. This is not lip service. This is a practiced activity at Saybrook, and I think it's meaningful. I think the curriculum is wonderful. I think that if you are looking to put an edge on your critical thinking, you want to step your game up to understand circumstance more deeply, you want to understand yourself or others around you or find constructive ways to improve those things, this is a great place to start and to work that process.
Dr. Heinrich, where have you been all my life? I love that description. I mean, both you and Dr. Piercy, that was just beautiful, beautifully put and authentic and so true of so many people's experiences that have gone through and have worked at Saybrook. I really appreciate that overview of that. That's really terrific. Thank you for that. So when we look at Saybrook on, kind of the bigger picture as people are thinking about considering a degree, I go back to like just in as a civilian, right? And thinking about when I went into grad school, there were all sorts of stories, right? The war stories of getting your doctorate and, you know, the dissertation. Oh, it's so hard and, you know, it's going to take you forever. And will you ever finish? And what are the, you know, all the things that you could probably imagine. I'm sure both of you could come up with your list. What are some things that people should be considering about grad school, especially as service members and veterans, you know, when they go in? And what are some myths? What are some realities? Maybe give folks a taste of what they might come to expect. So Dr. Heinrich, we'll start with you on that one.
Well, we'll give it a shot. Dissertation work is challenging, but if you bring your passion and you find a lane that fits, something that I've heard some interesting metaphors lately. One would be, you don't change the world through a dissertation. You are changed by that dissertation. And what I mean by that is, so as you learn about something in an incredibly deep way, how you view that, how you engage that, how you negotiate that changes for a lifetime. The voice within you changes. It's an authentic way of personal transformation. And ideally, I encourage those pursuing dissertations to find lanes of passion, because the passion will often carry you through what is sometimes a challenging process. Straight up is challenging. Won't pull punches on that. But you would be cheating yourself if you didn't experience the opportunity for the deep learning, the rigor, and all that that comes with that deep learning and that opportunity to become transformed by what you learn. So I don't know, Dr. Long, if I've nailed that answer or not. The horror stories are so many and some are silly. But I think that if a soldier, sailor, marine, airman, they bring that hard work, that selfless sense of determination, of supporting others and making things happen, no matter how uncomfortable that is. A dissertation is not as difficult for that type of framework than it could be for other type frameworks, where we're not asked to go hang out for 7 days in the woods with very little water and food and try to evade capture and get smelly and dirty and all that. So I think dissertation work is that's my lane. That's where I live. That's what I do. I support folks. I think it's a wonderful way to change who you are and make the world different for you, hopefully in a positive way.
No, I think that's spot on. I think understanding the rigor of it, but also knowing that it's doable, it's manageable, and especially learning the skills that you do in the military, I would imagine so much is transferable, right, to managing the rigors and the vigorousness of a graduate degree. And certainly, you get more than 5 carrots to do your dissertation. So,
listen, you are writing a dissertation on carrots out in the woods for 7 days and nothing
that's
else.
Right.
It might be different circumstances.
That's right.
I don't.
Dr. Piercy?
It is a difficult process, but I do think that military members probably kind of have a head start, or I don't know if it's really a head start, but I think it's they've already kind of stepped in that direction. The military teaches you about organization, everything about military, at least in the Air Force. I can't speak of the other branches. But for us, everything was very rigorous. There was a checklist for everything. Everything was step by step by step. And you learn how to organize information in a way that makes sense so that anybody can pick that checklist up and do that job and hopefully, you know, save the mission. And when you leave the service, you lose a lot of that, which I think is one of the biggest problems for military as they transition out, is that there is a lot of chaos in the civilian world, at least compared to the military structure. And so what the PhD really does is it teaches you how to organize information in a way that makes sense, but also demonstrates critical thinking. So you've thought a lot about this. My dissertation was on stress, and to what Randy was saying, it changed me. It truly did. It changed how I saw the world. It changed how I processed information. And it gave me an appreciation for being able to be more objective. Now, we all are biased. We all have our prejudices. But I think now more than ever, I have stability in that. And it was through my PhD at Saybrook that I learned that stability and how to balance, you know, my biases with things that I want, because obviously my dissertation is something I pursued because I was interested in stress. But also being able to balance and know that because it's something I want to do, that I am biased towards that. So there's a lot that you can take away. And I think military have that kind of already direction input. So when they get to a program like this and they're doing their dissertation, I think it makes sense to a lot of military members or former military members, or at least I think it would make a lot more sense than perhaps somebody that did not have that same structure. And I think that really sets them up for success. And Saybrook, I feel, did it in a way that was very supportive. I had to write the 3 papers before you even get to dissertation, so 3 30-page papers. And by then, I had already pretty much written 60 pages of my dissertation. I had already done my literature review. I had organized a lot of the information. I had organized my thoughts and what I wanted to say and how I wanted to conduct my study and the methods I wanted to use. And at that point, it all just kind of, I was able to piece it all together. I think that's a combination of my military experience as well as the rigorous studies that I've been through. But I do think that military members are set up for it, and I think it's a perfect way to enhance those abilities, enhance your leadership abilities, and really just, I think, improve critical thinking, which is going to be a lifelong journey. And that, in my opinion, is where I got the most benefit.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, very wise words from 2 very wise individuals. Really, really appreciate your thoughts on this. Before we wrap up, is there anything that you would like to add that we didn't ask or I didn't ask you today? Any sort of final takeaway that you'd like to make sure is included in there? And I'll start with you, Dr. Piercy.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've been really encouraging people to do. So we may have talked about it, but I'm actually developing a stress management program for veterans at the Veterans Administration here in Houston. And one thing that I'm learning that's really important is that when you leave or when you get into the military, you gain and lose things. They strip parts of you away and they build it up with different parts. And when you leave the service, you kind of have to reshape yourself all over again. And so I would just say that I think one of the most powerful things that military members can do is seek out education. And I think Saybrook is perfectly positioned for that. But it's going to give them that transitional effect where they get out and they have their GI Bill. They can go to school. And I think Saybrook is the perfect place to really learn and understand who you are now and help establish a new identity outside of the military, something that will hopefully help support you through your academic pursuits and into your and into life. So
terrific. All right. Awesome. Dr. Heinrich.
You know, humanism, humanistic philosophy, that whole notion that the human really should be central to whatever theory concept we're studying. I've always felt when I was in the school system briefly, that sometimes we treat people in a behavioristic way. And the military was kind of behavioristic, wear this uniform, salute this way, wear this rank, that kind of thing. I think a transition to Saybrook puts the human back center of that whole conversation. And it's less about the general and more about the specific. It's about how we as humans treat each other, how we should treat each other, different ways to improve those processes. I know I said this before, but I think it bears repeating. The Saybrook faculty and staff are loving, they are kind, and they are supportive. The work is rigorous, as well it should be. You should be challenged by education. If you're not being challenged, I wonder what kind of education you're getting. And so I think that Saybrook wraps those two things together nicely. And I think that those things that Jeremiah shared are very important. And I just think this is a great landing place to pursue your education.
Wonderful cap to that, both of you. So as we do with all of our guests, I've got two questions. These are quick takes. So the first thing that comes to mind, there's no right or wrong answer here. So we're going to leave this to the fates and see what you come up with on this one. So, Dr. Heinrich, what does the term humanistic mean to you?
It means the person in the middle.
Person in the middle. All right. Dr. Piercy?
Yeah, I think it is, what does it mean to be human?
And lastly, for all of the folks out there listening, including our vets and our current service members, I'm going to pose this to both of you, and I'll let the two of you figure out who wants to go first. With all that's out there regarding the challenges in this world right now, I mean, and there are a lot, as we all know, what are three things people can do right now to improve their health, their mental health, their emotional well-being, to help make the world a better place for them to live in? So whoever wants to take that on first, please.
I'll leave it to you, Jeremiah. This is your lane a little bit more clearly than mine.
Yeah, I think probably number one would be to really understand what things mean to you. Because we often go through life and we say things and we do things, but we don't really understand what they actually mean to us. So just stopping, being a little more mindful and trying to understand what it means to you. I would also say breathing is really important. If you learned how to control your breath, I think that gives you a lot of, maybe not a lot of tools, but a tool that can really impact your daily life in ways that you can't imagine. And then third, I think perspective. Perspective is everything. So just being mindful of the perspectives you have. And if you're predominantly thinking of things in a negative light, maybe try to find a way to shift that to something that's more grateful or at least more positive.
Well, I think that's a great way to close this podcast. Thank you both, Drs. Heinrich and Piercy, for a fabulous interview, fabulous insights. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
This is great. Thank you for having me.
All right. That was just absolutely outstanding. Very, very clear, on-point information, and really learned a lot. I did. I hope you did as well. Remember the three major takeaways that Dr. Piercy left us with. Understand what things mean to you. Really try and be mindful of, you know, what you're doing, why you're doing it. What does it mean to you? Second point was breathe. Learn to control your breath. I couldn't agree more. This is a tool that can impact your daily life in major ways. When you feel that stress mounting, take that breath. Learn to work through that and through the breath. And really then, the third point he raised was keep perspective. Be mindful of the perspectives you have and work to shift on that. So when things are mounting up in terms of stress, really identify and think of those perspectives that may be negative and maybe move those a little over to the neutral or positive category. If you want to see the YouTube version of this podcast, please visit our Saybrook YouTube page. If you'd like to support the podcast, which I hope you will, go to Apple iTunes and leave that 5-star rating and review and subscribe so you can get episodes as they come out. If you're on Spotify, leave the 5-star rating and make sure to follow us. You can, of course, subscribe to us on most of our major podcast platforms, including Google, YouTube Music, Stitcher, Pandora, Amazon, and many others. Remember to check our show notes for information on today's guests, including links to their websites, books, and the like. And for more about our university and to learn more about our programs for veterans and service members, go to www.saybrook.edu. Click on Areas of Study at the top of the page and locate the program of your choice to learn more. Or simply Google Saybrook University. Thanks, everyone. Take care and be well.